This is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
And good morning, another edition of The Gardening Show. My name is Igor. The phone lines are open, as you heard. We're on Facebook Live as well, facebook.com/WESB1075. And good morning, Mr. Master Gardener Bob Harris.
Well, good morning, Igor.
And what's on the agenda today?
Well, we left the show last week with a lady that had a question about planting some perennials underneath an oak tree, I believe.
That's right. That's right.
So I wanted to talk a little bit about that. You know, first, I did tell her that you can do that. But I want to talk, it led me to thinking about the roots of a tree, shrub, any plant, really. So there are basically different types of roots on a tree. You have the, when it's young, a tap root that goes straight down, searching for moisture and minerals. And then you have lateral roots. And those are the roots that are going to hold the plant upright, stabilize it. And they're going to be searching for water sources and food in the form of minerals. And then you have surface roots. And it's real clear on oak and maple. And those roots are searching for air. You know, you've always heard me talk about plants need air as much as they need water. So they do develop roots that come to the surface searching for air, because in our area, you know, it's pretty tough to find air underground because we have a clay-based soil and then shale, and some of that really doesn't hold a whole lot of air, so a lot of trees are pretty shallow-rooted around here. As you know, if you walk one of the trails and you see a fallen over tree, you get to really see the root system, and you'll see that it may only be 2 foot thick and then spreads out from there. But even those deeper roots that are looking for water and minerals still need air to help absorb that water and minerals. So, The roots only go as deep as the air in the soil is. The surface roots, though, those are the ones I want to talk about, because those are the ones you're going to affect when you plant perennials or anything underneath a tree. And again, you can do it as long as you don't get too crazy and plant too many things underneath that tree, because you are going to be cutting through roots and harming them. But of course, most plants make enough roots to withstand harm. And
yeah, see, I was kind of curious about that. I have a maple tree.
Yeah.
And, you know, that has a lot of roots that are above ground. And
right.
Actually, I kind of like nip it with my lawnmower blade.
Yeah.
Every now and then.
Right.
So it's like, how are people planting things around their trees? I have a lot of roots above ground.
Yeah. First, you want to look before you plant. You know, any of those larger roots, you know.
Yeah, of course.
Inch, 2 inch, 3 inch.
But are they up that high because of that oxygen like you're talking
about? Yes, because of the air. That's what they're searching for, is air.
Wow.
And them first drops of water when a rain comes before it runs off and away from the root system. So you want to search out, you know, maybe mark those places where that bigger root is. You're going to cut through a lot of air roots. Hair roots, which are air roots. Mm-hmm. and that's okay. You'll notice maple and oaks in the spring and summer, the ground is kind of soft there because a lot of those roots that they developed last year died off. They're going to make new roots that come to the surface. This time of year, that ground is very hard and dry underneath those trees because now they have developed a lot of those new hair roots, surface roots, which they do every year. Those are kind of annual roots. They grow every year, and then they die back for fall and winter. But you're not going to harm the plant by, you know, planting some perennials, you know, every 4 or 5 feet apart underneath those trees. So keep that in mind. And then it does help for a nice thick layer of mulch too around those perennials to help conserve the water. Now, the tree's going to be able to find the water, even though you've cut through some of them roots. But your plant that you put in there is going to have a rough time because that tree is going to start to develop roots into that area where you dug and planted immediately. It only takes them a few weeks to regenerate those roots. So a good thick layer of mulch is going to help protect that water for that plant to survive under there so that you're not out there watering every single day. So keep all that in mind. I mean, that was a good question, and it's a long story about roots and how they develop and what their purpose is. Like I said, there's several different purposes for storage, for searching out minerals and water, and then for searching out air.
But if you do have to sever some of these roots in order to plant something into the ground,
You're okay.
It's going to be okay.
Yeah, because, like, again, some trees can regenerate those roots within 4 weeks. They may take 6 weeks, but they will regenerate, you know, depending on the time of year, too. And then come fall, those surface roots aren't all that important. The tree is starting to get rid of those because they know the cold is coming and the cold would probably kill them off. So they get rid of them and they die back. And come spring, they'll develop new ones for that air. But again, pretty doggone important about the roots. But again, for that lady, sure, go ahead and plant some perennials underneath that tree. Make sure they're shade-loving plants.
Oh, yeah.
And then also make sure that if you're planting underneath an oak tree, that they're kind of acid-loving plants. Or underneath a maple tree, they can be any kind, really, a plant. There's not as much acid underneath a maple tree. And then be prepared for that big fall leaf drop that may smother those plants. So you'll have to clean up those leaves once in a while. But it does look really nice. It's great. It's a good use of the space underneath those trees. So go ahead and do it.
Now, before we move on from talking about roots, I just had a question. You were talking about how, you know, they regenerate and it won't really hurt a lot if you do disturb a little bit of the root system. What about at my mother-in-law's house? My goodness, she has a really mature, big maple.
Okay.
And it's like really, you know, about at least 10, 15 feet away from the tree. These roots are coming out of the ground, you know.
Yeah.
Quite a bit.
Okay.
What if I were to chop those?
You may be doing some harm in several ways, cutting off food and water supply. And when you cut a root, especially a larger root, you've opened that up to what we call pathogens, fungus, diseases. So it's a risk.
Because that's kind of like, you know, that big of a tree and that large of a root, is it kind of like a main artery almost kind of, and that would hurt it? We were talking about when they grow new roots right away, those are the smaller ones.
Those are the real small hair-like roots.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That can develop to, you know, finger size.
So maybe I'd be better off just putting dirt over it and raising the ground level so my mower doesn't chop it up.
That's true.
Because they are really invasive. You know, when you're trying to mow the lawn, it's like, you know, you're bouncing around like, wow, that's a big root.
But you also have to be aware of adding soil over those roots that have made it really bumpy, that you don't add too much soil. A few inches is fine.
Right.
When you start getting 6 inches to a foot, you know, you're starting to smother the tree because, again, those roots need air, and the more soil you put on, the less air that is available underground, especially from people walking or your mower. You compact the soil. Every time you compact the soil, that leaves less air space available to those roots. And again, they all need air to draw that moisture up. You can affect it that way. So just be careful of how much soil you put on.
All right, wonderful. What's next on the list? I see you have a whole bunch of notes as usual.
Yeah, some of them are old.
Oh.
Another thing I wanted to talk about, July. I should have started out in early July, but that's the bug month when bugs are going to really start to affect your plants, possibly. Some of us try to ignore those bugs for a long period of time, as long as we can, as long as it's not destroying too much of the plant, because as those bad bugs, we'll call them, that harm the plant, population grows, good bugs come in that want to feed on them or use them in other ways that help destroy them. So if we can hold off, we can let the good bug population increase, and it'll take care of the bad bug population on its own. Now, it doesn't always work, but most of the time it will. And that's just the way nature is. The good bugs aren't there in the beginning because they need the bad bugs first to
attract them to them, right?
To attract them to it, yeah.
Okay.
So that's the cycle of it. The bad bugs show up first. If you try to ignore it, then the good bug population will grow, and then they will take care of the problem for you. But sometimes it gets out of hand, mm-hmm. and the good bugs don't come in. Or we've made a boo-boo, you know, that we've seen some bad bugs, so we've gone out there and sprayed them. Well, now the bad bugs are dead, so the good bugs aren't coming in. And, of course, the bad bug population's going to come again. And maybe by that time, we've lost that window of opportunity for the good bugs to come in and take care of it. So the bad bugs remain there and continue to do their damage.
So what's the moral of the story? Just let it be the whole summer? Or what do you do?
To a point. If it's really affecting your plant severely, then you have to do something. But if it isn't affecting your plant severely, let a few of those bad bugs go and let the good bug population grow and start taking care of it. So that's the moral of the story.
A few holes, a few unsightly leaves,
yeah.
Let it be. But if it's devastating entire plants, then kind of kick in with a little bit extra help?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so here's a few things to look for so you don't have to go inspecting with a magnifying glass all your plants all the time. For one thing, if you think a plant is being damaged by insects, but you don't really see them, there are some insects that only work at night as pests, and some that only work at the high point of the day. So you can go out there with a white sheet of paper, hold it underneath the foliage, tap on the foliage vigorously, and it'll dislodge the insects that are on there, and dust, and so pollen. And then you can inspect that white piece of paper, and if you see those dust particles moving, then you probably have some insects there. And it should be to a point, you know, where if you see dozens of particles moving, well, you got a bad insect problem.
Mm.
If you only see half a dozen moving around, well, then there's no problem at all, really, that the good bugs are going to take care of those. Another one to look for is the growing tip of a plant. That's the outermost tip, the new growth of a plant. If it starts to droop, we call it looks like a shepherd hook, that's probably an insect there feeding. Most insects want to feed on new growth of a plant because that's where the skin of the plant is the thinnest. It's easier for them to penetrate and suck the sap out of the plant. So if you see that shepherd hook looking thing, not because they're dry and starting to wilt, but anytime you see that droop, well, that's a sign of an insect working on the plant that may be even hard for you to see. A lot of insects are very, very small, you know, eighth inch or even smaller sometimes.
Like you said, you can't even really see. It looks like dust at first.
Yeah,
right? You said?
It does. Yeah.
Wait a minute. These sprinkles of pepper are moving.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Another sign is besides the droopy end of the plant is brown spots, especially in evergreens. If we have a brown spot developing, and it can be on the sunny side, some insects prefer that, or it can be the shady side where there's not a lot of wind, certain insects affect that area. So look for those brown spots and do the paper trick and tap the foliage and see what insects there. Spider mites, for one, really like evergreens, and they can suck a lot of juice out of a plant, and then they cause all those needles on evergreens to turn brown. And there's a lot of ways to take care of them. They're very easy to take care of. Just by hitting the foliage with the back of your hand, taking a rake, combing through the foliage, knocks them down, or a blast from the garden hose. When you're watering, blast right through the shrub, try to hit the whole thing. That knocks them down. Most of those insects, once they hit the ground, they're going to be attacked by bacteria and fungus and so on, and other predatory insects, or they're just not going to have enough energy to climb back up in the plant to start feeding and making their nest. Another sign is if you start seeing a cobweb develop in that evergreen shrub. Mm. That's a good sign that you have a large population of spider mites. Now, just about every evergreen around here is going to have some spider mites. And like I said, if you have dozens of them crawling around on that white piece of paper, then you got a problem. If you have six or so, you know, that's really not a problem. The birds or a spider or something's going to, bigger spider is going to, a wolf spider is going to take care of them, or a beetle, you know, is going to eat them up. And I mentioned beetle, and I wanted to make another point off the subject, kind of the signs of insects on your shrubs. Mulching, you know, to a lot of people, they're saying it can be harmful, but there are more benefits to mulching than there are harm. And I've mentioned a lot of those benefits. But one big benefit, because I'm on the subject of insects, is that it can harbor a lot of beetles in your mulch. Beetles like the mulch layer, especially as it's rotting down. They can feed off that wood. They can feed off the fungus that grows in the wood. And then they feed off insects that are near the plant. So that's a big benefit. So mulching in that respect is a real good idea.
So beetles are good.
Beetles are good, yes.
Who's your favorite beetle?
Paul.
Okay. Of course. That's the only answer.
Yeah.
Well, George had that hit in the 80s, remember?
Oh, he had a lot of hits. Yeah. Yeah.
Solo, you know, I got my mind set on you.
Yep.
Remember that one?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway.
We digress.
Boy, we could talk about beetles for a long time. So, bug of the month, July. So, it's time to really be aware and inspect your plants. And do something if you have to, or let it ride. You know, just a blast of the hose is going to take care of a lot of those insects. Or just keeping your plant healthy by making sure it's watered when it needs water. Maybe a fertilizer just to keep it healthy so it can fight off those insects. Because most plants will develop toxins in their system that as soon as they're attacked by an insect, they start to develop these certain toxins and that make it distasteful for the insect or harm the insect in a way that they can't breed properly, or that just chases them away. So sometimes just being patient is your best defense again.
Yeah. That's great. That's great advice. We have to take a short break.
Okay, good.
And thank our sponsor, Worth W. Smith. And we'll be back with some show and tell. You brought in a couple plants.
Yeah.
So we can take a look at them on Facebook Live, and we'll explain it to our radio friends. It's The Gardening Show right here on B107.5 FM.
Worth W. Smith Company, you'll find what you need when it comes to shovels, rakes, pruners, and all sorts of other gardening and landscaping tools. Why take the chance of getting splinters from old dried-up cracked handles or the frustration of fighting with the rusty chipped cutting edges on your loppers? Their staff is always eager to lend a helping hand with getting you what you need for the project ahead. Stop and see them today at any of their 6 locations in Bradford, Olean, Salamanca, Cuba, and Eldred. Remember, if you need it, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company.
Back to the Gardening Show on B107.5 FM. We're on Facebook Live, facebook.com/WESB1075. And if you have a question, you can either comment on the video feed there, or you can give us a call because we are live. And the number again is 814-368-9372, 368-WESB. All right, Bob, take it away.
Okay, I brought in a perennial and a shrub. I brought in this perennial because it's blooming now, and it's kind of neat. This is balloon flower, is the common name, or Platyacodon grandiflorus. And they come in different colors. This one here is a light pink, but they also come in a nice blue, purplish blue, which is the more common one. And it's called balloon flower because of when the buds first start to develop and almost open, it kind of looks like a balloon, a hot air balloon. And then, of course, the flower opens up. Pretty large flowers on them, too. And it's a great, great perennial. Can grow in sun, partial shade, not really particular about the soil. And will last for generations even. It will also reseed. So you plant one, and within a few years, you'll have more than one, dozens of them even. So that's Platyacodon or balloon star, and that's the pink coloring one.
All right. We'll move that up closer to the camera so they can see that.
Okay, great. This is a shrub I've never really talked about. This is a blueberry, and it just really caught my eye today when I was at Graham's greenhouse, so I picked this one up. And these take a little different care than most plants, the blueberries do. They make a fine shrub in your yard or garden, and even in pots you can grow them. But they have to be in real acidic conditions. Mm. Very, very acidic. More acidic than any other plant. So adding aluminum sulfate to the soil is extremely important. And it may become a yearly thing to do, to sprinkle around. And you'll see when you buy a blueberry fertilizer, it'll tell you the directions of how much to add. And depending on the stage of the plant, if it's a real young plant, you add so much. If it's 5-year-old plant, you add more. So keep that in mind too, the blueberry. Even though they say we have acid soil here, it's not acid enough for the blueberry to grow well. It'll grow if you don't acidify the soil, but it helps if you do, you'll get a better production.
Is that true with any of like the berries or?
No, that, just so the blueberries.
That's the unique.
Yeah, it's
oddball.
Very unique in that shape. And one good practice is every year to take sawdust or mulch and put it on the base of the plant. Now, different than any other plant. Most plants you want to put the mulch down, but you don't really want it right against the trunk. The blueberry's different. You can pile it right up, 6 inches above the soil even, right at the center of the plant. And that will encourage new sprouts or suckers to come up through there, and that becomes a new blueberry plant. Because as a blueberry plant ages, like a lot of other plants, their vascular system starts to get plugged up with minerals, and they get less and less productive. So every once in a while, we have to go in and trim right at the ground level those old big old stems that aren't producing and flowering well anymore. And that encourages new growth to pop up outside that stem that will become the new shrub. And, of course, those new ones will be very productive and flower very well. But you can pile the mulch right up there at a nice high mound right around the blueberry. And it's also important, that mulch, because blueberries don't have very deep roots. They are what we call a surface rooter. And the roots are very, very fine. They don't have big roots. They don't have big roots. They have very fine hair-like roots. So they can dry out in a hurry. And blueberries like to be damp all the time. That mulch helps that too. And you don't have to go very far out, you know. Maybe a foot or a foot and a half out away from the center of the plant. You don't have to go 3-4 feet out there unless you're doing it for looks or for mowing and trimming purposes. But that's important, that mulch. Gotta be, and sawdust is usually the preferred one, or fine wood chips, because they break down very fast. And as they do, they make the soil there acidic, which that's what the blueberry likes. So that's the blueberry plant. And there's a lot of different ones. This particular one is Blu-ray, and that's early to mid-season. There are early season blueberries, mid-season, and late season blueberries. So if you planted several different blueberries, you can have blueberries for a long extended period of time.
But they all have the same general rule of what you were talking about, the higher mounding of the soil, or put that mulch over them.
Yes. And for me, it would also be beneficial because they're pollinated by bees. So it also be beneficial to plant a few flowers to attract those pollinators to the blueberries, because you can have a blueberry plant that blooms like crazy but doesn't produce much fruit. And that could be because it wasn't pollinated.
Oh, okay.
So it's a good idea to plant some flowering plants nearby to help get those bees in, so they find the blueberry flower and pollinate it, and then you'll produce a lot of fruit.
Great. Well, thank you very much for bringing those in.
Oh, you bet.
Any
yeah.
final thoughts for the show today?
I guess I'll cover this more next week. But there's a lot of insect. I was talking about insects. Mm-hmm. So because this is the bug month, July, there's a lot of insect deterrent plants, which I'll cover next week.
Oh, perfect.
That you can plant in your yard and help you keep that bug population down.
All right. We'll be back next week. Or is that your week off?
Oh, that's my week off.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a big tease.
Okay.
Now. All right.
Couple weeks then.
So 2 weeks.
Yeah.
We're going to have a best of show next week. But it'll be chock full of information, of course.
Yes.
As it always is. Thank you very much, Master Gardener Bob Harris.
You're welcome.
And it's The Gardening Show. Have a great weekend. It's B107.5 FM.